We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Drew Hill covers a redemption tour for the Daily Memphian. He joins us every single Thursday here on the show, and he joins us now. Hey, Drew.
Hey.
How long have you been in Memphis, man?
Since 2018.
So 5 years you've been here?
Yeah.
You bought a house, correct?
I bought a house with my girlfriend, but yes, I don't own the house solely.
So why is it that after all these years you don't have a 901 area code, or do you have a burner phone that I just don't know about?
I used to have a 901 number when I worked for the commercial appeal. It was like a work phone. But then I left the commercial appeal for the Daily Memphian, and then I just decided to keep my personal phone, and I still have the same number. So I don't know. I'm fine with my 502 number. Fine with me.
What's it going to take? How many more years you got to be in Memphis, or you're just not planning on being here? You know, for the long haul.
I don't think that really even matters, right? Like, does your
Oh, it matters. Really matters. It does. You are a talent in this city. It absolutely matters.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's a Louisville area code at that.
Exactly. That's why we're on this, because it jumps out at us. Louisville.
I feel like the Memphis Louisville thing ended a long time ago.
No, you're probably right. No,
clearly, you do.
It is dead. Let's be real.
Yeah.
We're not trying to dox you here, man.
No, just wanted to say.
I never was a Louisville basketball fan growing
fair,
up.
Fair.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know. I'm not attached to the 502 number or the 901 number. I just don't think it matters.
No,
maybe I should have a 901 number.
That's him putting his foot down, John. No more questions about it. Doesn't matter.
He roots for the basketball team of Satan himself.
Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
That's who he roots. Hey,
Saban put Oates in his place the other day, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he was at Alabama basketball practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, is that true? So that's
trying to make things right.
Yeah, so that's what that was.
Killed him publicly.
Yeah, that was like a, hey, that was just a little bit of a
nothing personal
Freudian slip there. Sorry about that, Nate. Sorry about that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that later, man. We got to talk about the Grizzlies. So, obviously, it felt like going into the game last night, the biggest story was Ja's return. But as the game turned, Jaren Jackson Jr. finished with 37 points, five straight games with 25-plus. And it got Jay Williams on his show this morning asking if Jaren has more upside than Ja. It got Jason Smith asking, can he be the number one scoring option? Yeah. Are all of these questions prisoner of the moment, or is there some validity to what we're seeing from Jaren in these last few games?
I don't think it's prisoner of the moment. I don't envision a place where Jaren is outscoring Ja on a nightly basis. But I do envision a place where Jaren is very clearly an all-star level player and like is totally capable of getting you this on any given night. Maybe not 37, but maybe 25. And so I don't think that any of this is fake. I think the most encouraging part about a lot of this recent stretch for the Grizzlies, and not just Jaren, is that most of it feels sustainable, right? Like, this Luke Kennard thing, it feels sustainable. Like, it feels like he's just going to be able to do this now. And this Jaren Jackson thing feels pretty sustainable. Maybe it's not quite as good as it is right now, but like it's almost like it's finally hit him, oh, wait, I can do this every time if I want to. And it's just volleyball at this point. And so I think a lot of that, a lot of the most encouraging things and a lot of the reasons for optimism are, you know, are so strong right now because a lot of this feels very sustainable. And I think Jaren's at the top of that at the moment. John, do you want to apologize? Have you come around completely, John? When did you come around on this Jaren conversation?
Well, I mean, to this Jaren conversation, I don't think I have come around. What I have come around to saying is that, you know, he can be the second consistently, right? But I feel like the whole upside more than Ja thing is like it's ridiculous, quite frankly. And I think it's influenced by the fact that Ja just hasn't been playing and he's gone through some personal strife. I think that's really a silly conversation to be having. But defensively, I think that is the other angle here, right? Like there's no question about that. His impact, I could argue, is game to game maybe bigger, right? It could be bigger than Jaws. I think that could be a fair argument because of what he brings defensively.
Yeah, I think I'm mostly with you there. I still think Jaws going to be the biggest star on this team if that's what we're questioning. Like, there's also an element that's non-basketball element to this, and it's just a style element. Mm-hmm. And Jaws a guard, and like you know, guards are more popular. And so naturally, you would just expect, right, that Jaws going to be the biggest star on this team. From a scoring perspective, too, he's going to have the ball in his hands more often. Like Jaren needs other people to do work in order to go score a bucket, right? Like he needs somebody to pass it to him to initiate. And Ja doesn't need that. Like, and Ja's going to get those possessions when it's late in the shot clock and they just need him to drive and try to do something. You saw a little bit of that last night. So I'm with you on I don't see this overlap happening here where Jaren, I guess, has taken off so much that he becomes the best player on the team or whatever. But I do agree with what you said. Like, I think he's clearly good enough to be the second best player on a championship team or has a chance to be that good. It's funny to hear him talk about potential because he's so sick of hearing about potential. And, like, even last night he said, yeah, it's great to have potential so that you can potentially be good. I have a ton of potential here. You know, it'd be great if I could potentially live up to that potential. Like he hates hearing that word. And I think he's ready to just do it. I think you're starting to see it a little bit.
How about you mentioned Luke? How about that lineup? It includes all these guys we're talking about, that Ja, Dez, I think it was Luke, Santi, Jaren. I think even Ja was asked about it afterwards in terms of the shooters it gives you in that lineup, you know, and I bring that up, Drew, because and bring Jay Williams back up. He was talking with the Grizzlies were literally the first thing him and Stephen A. were talking about this morning. But one of the things he said was his concern in the playoffs, and it's almost like he hadn't watched them, you know, post-trade deadline since Luke Kennard. But his point was you just play off of Dylan Brooks, who can't shoot it, and Bane's the only one that can do it. But literally last night you're seeing a lineup with four shooters out there around Ja. Is that something you expect to see a lot more of and maybe a lot of in the playoffs? Especially if Kennard continues to do what he's doing, right?
Yeah, no, I think you are going to see it in the playoffs, yeah. And I think it's going to work. You know, there was a stretch there in February where it really felt like the Grizzlies could not get anyone off the bench to give them production, yep, outside of Santi Aldama, especially on the wing, especially in the backcourt. And now, like, Luke's doing this on a nightly basis. Every night, it seems like he's making two or three threes, and that makes such a big difference for the team. And I think that it looks like a very good addition at this point. It's very hard to be negative. I think that when this happened, we talked about how this wasn't going to be like a needle-moving type of thing, and I'm still not sure it's like a move that's going to push you to a championship, right? But we did say that there were reasons for optimism here. There were reasons to believe that this might make them marginally better.
Yep.
And I think all of those reasons that we talked about are now sort of coming true. Like, when you have a guy off the ball, it's also creating space for Ja. It's creating space for Jaren. And everything that they wanted in Luke Kennard, he's really delivered on at this point. Even the passing's been pretty good for him.
We're talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Ja came off the bench. Obviously, don't expect that to continue as this redemption tour goes on. What did you just make of the scene and you know, just how he was received by his teammates and what we saw from Ja? I mean, I know it's not some extended layoff here, but what did you just make of everything last night inside the building?
Yeah, before I get to the atmosphere, I thought it was interesting what Taylor Jenkins said about him coming off of the bench. Because this started because Dylan Brooks let it slip, really. He said, nobody else was willing to offer anything of what Ja had to say during the day on Monday when he first got back with the team, except for Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks offered up this idea that Ja had said he wanted to come off the bench or that he would come off the bench, and Dylan Brooks said, hell no, you're not coming off the bench. But Taylor Jenkins evidently was like, all right, you want to come off the bench? You can come off the bench. And when Taylor was asked before the game why the decision was made to have him come off the bench, he said it was 50% just the way that the team is playing right now. The team's playing so well, you don't want to screw it up. And it was 50% Ja's conditioning. Well, the argument was made, well, what if the team just doesn't stop playing well? What if the team just continues to play well? Are you just going to continue to have Ja come off the bench? And Taylor had to kind of backtrack on what he said, and he was like, this is only going to be a couple of games. This is not going to last long. Eventually, he'll be right back in the starting lineup. As for what the atmosphere was like, it was exactly what I expected. It was cool to see the buildup, and I was glad that Jaren pointed it out after the game because it was what I sort of led my story with. It felt like with each thing Ja did, it just got a little bit louder and a little bit louder and a little bit louder. He walks out of the tunnel, he gets a cheer. He checks in at the scorer's table, he gets a louder cheer. He, checks into the actual game and takes the court. The place is giving him a standing ovation, and then he dunks on Kenyon Martin Jr., and it felt like the roof was going to blow off the place. And, that buildup, that anticipation, all that has sort of been pent up for, at least a week now as we've sort of waited for his return. And so I just thought it everything sort of lived up to the moment, what you thought it would be like last night, and that was kind of cool to see. And I thought Ja was very honest after the game, too, and my favorite thing that he said was, I got a second chance, now it's on me to make it right and show who Ja the person really is. And I just really liked that quote because I thought it spoke to exactly what most Grizzlies fans want to hear from him, right? I'm taking advantage of the second chance. It's on me to take advantage of this second chance. And it could have been worse, but here we are, and I'm making the right steps to be the superstar that everybody wants me to be and be this role model that everybody wants me to be. And so I thought it was a good first step for Ja.
Yeah. I thought, too, Drew, and that, for continuing, coming off the bench, too, it's sort of an individual tip of the cap and maybe even a team tip of the cap to how good Tyus Jones has been as a starter in, for him during that stretch. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over again last night, too. That never hurts as well, right? The team chemistry aspect of it, but also, Tyus has been on an absolute roll as a starter. My question for you, sort of flipping it, is can you continue to get this Tyus, right, coming off the bench once he's settled back into that role, this efficient Tyus that's playing with so much confidence right now? That feels key.
Yeah, this is something I talked about with Chris Harrington on our Grizzlies podcast yesterday. Another reason for optimism here, the same way that I said, the Luke Kennard stuff feels sustainable, yep, the Jaren Jackson stuff feels sustainable. This Tyus stuff feels more sustainable to me, given that a lot of their successes have come with Tyus in the lineup, but playing alongside guys in the second unit. Mm-hmm. If you look back at the end of that Spurs game, Luke is on the court there, and he's part of the group that's making the play. Luke is a guy you would expect Tyus is going to play a lot with in the second unit. If you look back at the beginning of the Mavericks game on Monday, it was Tyus surrounded by a bunch of guys off the bench. It was Santi, it was Roddy, it was Conchar. I think that when you look at sort of what he has done and the ways that he has been successful in this recent stretch, yes, he has been a starter, but he's been very good in the minutes with the guys off the bench. And so to me, when it does come time to put him back on the bench, it feels like the chemistry has been built there where maybe it wasn't quite at that point at the beginning of the season. And now, you know, the 70-plus games of run that they've now had together is starting to pay off. And so, yeah, I'm optimistic that when they put Tyus back on the bench, it's going to work just the same.
I know they're protesting it, but it did go final. The Golden State Warriors did win on the road. Were you aware of that? It was a bulletin. Like they interrupted CSI Miami to let the world know that Golden State won a road game last night. It was crazy.
I saw last night Tim McMahon, who works for ESPN, was in town. He also, of course, covers the Mavericks, and so he was scrambling to write a story about what had happened in that game in addition to the Ja coming back piece that he wrote last night. And so we were just joking there, and I think even like everybody in the locker room afterwards was finally seeing the highlights, and nobody could really believe it or understand what happened there. And I think Mark Cuban's explanation makes sense, doesn't it? Like, I think it makes sense. Like, what NBA team is really going to forget which side of the court they're defending? I've never seen that.
Well, Kidd's point, too, was that the other official was down on the other end, that if anything, he, too, thought that it should have been Dallas's ball because he was on the other end, which was representative of should have been their ball. That was Kidd's point. When you make a mistake, just come up and admit it. Instead, they just punished, you know, Dallas in the instance and gave Golden State the free layup. They should have just said, yeah, we got it wrong. Nothing.
What can they do?
Nothing. That's a good. So, I mean, what wasn't this third quarter? I don't think it was like late in the fourth. I know they're protesting and everything else, but it's third. So you had a lot of game left, Drew. Is my point on? I don't think they can do much, right? I mean, there was so much more game played. I thought
it's just weird too because if you were an official, wouldn't you like think about handing the ball off to the guy who's inbounding for Golden State before you did it? You know, mm-hmm. like it just. You're like, you're dealing with professionals here. This isn't a team of elementary school kids. Like, you know, this, you would think that the official would at least stop the game and try to get some clarity as to like, okay, why is half of the people on the wrong side of the court? But no, they just handed it off. I don't know. I don't think there's anything they can do about it. That really, I'd be mad if I was a fan of the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. I'd be pretty mad because to me, you can't come up with a reasonable excuse. You can't make me believe that they just forgot which end of the court they were defending.
Yeah.
I think that something happened there that threw them off. I believe that.
All right, you're an SEC guy. You have an SEC degree. What's the SEC going to go this weekend in the Sweet 16?
Okay, I need a refresher on all the games.
You have the satanic devil worshiping team playing San Diego State.
He knows about them.
You have
Arkansas, UConn.
You have Arkansas, UConn, tonight. And then you have Tennessee, FAU.
2-1 for sure. I really like UConn. UConn's really good, like really good. I could see them getting all the way to the championship game. So I think that's a loss. I think Arkansas stops there, and I'll take Bama and Tennessee.
They beat Houston, just so everybody's clear. This is Houston's championship to lose, in my opinion. You're telling me Sasser's good. You're telling me Shedd's good. Like, they ain't getting
– I'm telling you Sasser's good.
They ain't beating Houston. Well, I mean, they make it to a Final Four, but they ain't beating Houston. That's where I'm at with it.
I'm fine with that. Whatever. I would love for – as you have said, my satanic university.
Your pagan Crimson Tide. I don't know what kind of rituals you guys are doing over there, but you got the easiest freaking draw in the history of the world to get to the Final Four.
Well, I don't know because your guy with Creighton.
Could happen.
Creighton is tough. Creighton's pretty tough, man.
They are
pretty tough. I could see that. I mean, I think, I'm optimistic. I have this feeling of doom for some reason ahead of that Maryland game because their like computer numbers are pretty good, but then when you look at what San Diego State does, like offensively and all that, they're worse than Maryland. So you would think Alabama would be able to win that game. I'm just hoping that they get to the Final Four because I'd love to go to Houston and go have fun. So
well, we know you'll be there, and so it is what it is.
Drew, how'd you like the acquisition of DJ Moore?
Oh, I love that. I love that entire trade.
Yes.
I love that entire trade. I think they've done a really good job in free agency. unlike the Las Vegas Raiders.
We need that Bruce Pearl drop. Well, the Raiders are a freaking joke, man.
Joke.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough. Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback of the
Jimmy
future.
Polo, man.
Did they ever – what happened with the – you would have the answer to this. What happened with him just not showing up for the press conference? Was he like – did he not pass a physical or something?
No, nah, it was weird. Like, even one of the beat writers was like, oh, if this deal doesn't go through – like, why the hell would this deal not go through? Nobody ever really explained it. Nobody explained why. But you know what? He probably just – you know, to say, you know what, I got to go to Miami. I got to get on a yacht today. I'll be here tomorrow. That man ain't committed. Like, I saw him, like, tour the, you know, they post all these videos, right? I saw him tour Allegiant. Like, I think Jimmy Garoppolo might be a rube.
Stop.
I think he might be a rube.
He would be the best-looking rube that ever has been. He is not a rube.
He's like,
food.
Man, it's pretty nice.
This man said a rube.
He might be a rube, dude.
That is a hill dweller. Garoppolo ain't of that ilk.
Okay. Okay. I was just not like – I was not impressed by, like, his reaction. Or, like, it just felt like there was not a lot back there.
He's Italian, man. He's Italian.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's very suave.
I'm not – I'd rather be a Bears fan. Honestly, I want to be a Jags
fan. It's fun
fan.
Right now, Drew. It feels fun. There's a lot to talk about with Bears. I don't want to overdo it here.
I know.
In Memphis,
I mean,
but
the,
yeah.
The wicked witch of the NFC North is now, it appears, the way out.
That's right.
So that's good.
That's right.
I'm happy. It's been a fun offseason. I can't wait for this draft.
Yeah, it's been a really, really fun offseason for you guys. All right, man, get out of here. Appreciate
Thank
the time,
you, sir.
As always.
Yeah. See you guys.
It's a parade inside my city. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about the Chicago Bears and things looking up. Grizzlies, certainly, though.
Well,
it's not your city, though.
It's in Arlington. It's a parade inside Arlington.
That thing, we're going to get a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? We'll be ready to play in it.
Yeah.
At that time?
Yeah. It might be true. You might be right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you get this draft right.
Well, yeah, we got to get it built, too.
Yeah.
Because we ain't too far off if we get this draft right. Maybe 2-3 years. I mean, look at Philly, how quickly they did it.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.